Welcome to Daily Thoughts, everybody. I know it's been a while, but thank you for tuning in. For these, since they are bonus episodes, I don't do any advertising, but I will say if you want to check out our partners, we have three partners for this ministry. You can go to our Facebook page and you can check them out and learn about them, or you can go to our website. And for those of you who are listening who got my centering prayer, sit and give your troubles to God devotional journal, thank you. If you want to hold on and wait, you can. I'm actually doing some edits to it, and I'm going to re-release it. And yeah, it's going to be good. But today we're continuing the Psalms. It's, like I said, it's been a while. Last time we were on here, we did Psalm 56. And for the sake of time, I won't get into that psalm, but I encourage you to go listen to it or to become a bonus subscriber, a 99-cent bonus subscriber, so that you can listen to it because it was really good material. And today we're diving into Psalm 57, and this is one of the psalms that's given to us where it has introductory background information. This psalm takes place in the situation when Saul was chasing David and his men to kill them, and they fled into the cave. And if you're unfamiliar with the story in 1 Samuel, Saul was unaware that he was near the cave and in David's presence, and David could have killed him. But instead, David relented and allowed him to live. But he celebrated the moment and celebrates God because he knows that it was no coincidence. For David and for the Israelites, when they believed, because of their belief in Yahweh, their faith in him, their loyalty to him, their allegiance, when they were allegiant to him, there were no such things as coincidences. They believed that God was behind every action. Anything that happened was, it was a part of His design, His plan, especially since He works for those who love Him, which David even understood. And this is what he says when he sees Saul standing outside the cave. He says, "Have mercy on me, my God, have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who vindicates me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth his love and his faithfulness. I am in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." Now this, I love how David approaches this psalm. Because he knows he's not out of the woods yet. He knows he's being pursued, but instead, he goes straight to God, and he acknowledges that the only source of mercy, the only source of redemption that he can find will be God, God Most High. He's the only one who can redeem him. We talk about God being the only one. We've gone through these Psalms so many times, and God is the only one because he is transcendent, because he is beyond everything in this material existence. He's even beyond some things in the spiritual existence. David acknowledges that at the end when he says, may you be exalted above the heavens, let your glory be over all the earth. His glory already is there. David knows that, and he's beckoning the continuity of this because he knows without God that nothing would be here. Nothing would be around. Nothing would exist. Nothing would operate the way it should. God is the only source of design, of functionality. No order comes without him. Everything that is not transcendent is prone to chaos, prone to entropy, prone to death. Without barriers in place to protect them or those things, they will be consumed by consumed and eroded by the anti-creation that came into existence as an effect of God's action of creating in the very beginning. He did not make it, but it came into existence as an opposite reaction to what he did. And now it pervades everything. And it is the very antithesis of what he set about to do. It is the evil that he strives against, the evil that plagues us on even the most spiritual of levels. And so even though David's in a cave, even though the cave is shrouding him and keeping him from being noticed by Saul and his troops, David knows that the only real protection he has is God. God's presence is there. He says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who vindicates me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth his love and his faithfulness. This is crucial because God is not dependent on our faithfulness. God loves us regardless. It is his faithfulness and his love that go beyond us, that fill us with purpose and meaning. If we reject that, then we will be unable to experience him, but that does not take away from him. He constantly throws himself at us and constantly wants to redeem and rescue and restore those who are loyal to him. He loves everything he's made, but we, those who believe in him, are the force with which he is using to redeem everything else, to bring everything back into the fold. David understood this in his time because he knew Israel was that selected purpose. We've talked about that. They were a selected nation. That was their function. They were to be a holy nation of priests sent to the other nations to rescue and save and return all of creation back to the created intent that he had from the beginning. And then David goes on, he says, I am in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. God is constantly against those who pursue evil and destruction and death, who relish in it, whether it be through jealousy or anger or just purely a love for violence. He hates those and disdains those who would give themselves over to the sins of hatred and immorality of any kind, and would seek to destroy and ruin the innocent. David was no perfect person. We've talked about this before, but he was repentant, and he always turned back to God even when he fell. So in God's eyes, he was innocent. God saw David as pure because of the fact that he was a man after God's own heart. And God will work so that evil and those who pursue evil will meet their demise. But we oftentimes get impatient and we want to see him restore and hold accountable those who are restore those who are innocent and hold accountable those who are evil and consumed by evil. But we have to remember we are evil too. Deep down inside our hearts, the evil that pervades those who are consumed by evil also pervades us. And if God were to remove evil from the world, he would have to destroy all humanity in the process because of how attached to us it is, which is why he sent Jesus to take on sins. Because when Jesus took on the sins of the world, there was now a mediator between God and men who could stand and justify us as innocent and pure, who could remold us in God's image and make us new. But for those who are consumed by evil, one day they will experience horrors beyond their imagination because they will be separated from the eternal life of God. Saul, for the longest time, held on to his kingdom, and it probably seemed to David that he would never get what was coming to him, even though David knew that God had promised him he would be king over the entire nation of Israel. There were probably times of doubt where he thought that this would never end, when Saul was pursuing him relentlessly, wanting to take his life. When David saw this moment of Saul standing outside the cave, he says that they dug a pit in my path and they have fallen into it. When he sees the soldiers out there, he knows this is an opportunity. This is a point of choice for him where he can return the favor to Saul and take Saul's life. But then he would have to think, at what price? Saul did not realize how close he was to death, and that if Yahweh had commanded it in that moment, David would have killed him. But God did not command it because it was not his time, and it was not what he wanted for David. David was to show a better way. He was to be merciful, and he did. He was merciful. And because of that, because of God showing him the better way, and he then celebrates and says, "My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." He sees that there is so much more to the moment than taking a life. He sees in that moment that he is to be God to the people that are before him. He is to humble himself and show them that He loves them. Because he did love Saul. He loved Saul dearly. Saul's son Jonathan was David's best friend. And the last thing David wanted was for Saul to die. In fact, when Saul did finally meet his demise at the hands of the Philistines, David wept and cried because of the loss of both Saul and Jonathan. He mourned for days and days because his heart was broken and pierced. So he celebrates God in the moment because he knows full well, he sees that he can bring joy and peace into Saul's life. He can at least attempt to quell the confusion and anger inside the king, who was pushing himself away from Yahweh, pushing himself away from where he should have been, who decided to choose against God instead of for God. And this should be a reminder to us that we will have those opportunities too. Jesus told us in the New Testament that we should love our enemies. And this is true, we should. We should love them and try to show them the better way. How to live righteously and peaceably. Standing against wrong and standing for truth and love. God's love. Not the world's love, not this fake love that's going around nowadays where everyone expects affirmation for what they choose, even if those choices are wrong and detrimental to their lives. We need to hold each other accountable and hold them accountable and show them that there is a better way, that God is the better way. Lord Jesus, thank you for this wonderful psalm. Thank you for this beautiful reminder that even when things are so evil, you are watching everything. You're keeping an account of every man's actions. Our actions cannot save us, only you can save us. But in the end, those who have done wrong, they will be held accountable for their actions. They will be punished for what they have done. Their decisions will be weighed and they will be found wanting because they did not seek you, did not align themselves with you and be loyal to you and faithful to you, holding firm to your ways, your laws, your being. Transforming themselves into your image. Again, obedience cannot save us, but transformation, faith in you is far more than just mental assent. It is a remolding of who we are, of our character, of our being. We are to look like you, sound like you, smell like you, in every way. In every way possible. And may we love our enemies as you showed David to love his own. May we mourn for them when they do not seek you. May we pray for their benefit. May we pray that you will bless them and be merciful to them, that you will show them the light of your truth and life, and that they will choose you. Entice them with your grace, Lord. We praise you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for tuning in this morning. We are back in action, and I will see you tomorrow. May the Lord guide you and keep you and shine his face upon you. Grace and peace.